Harris Air Force Kodesh Kishon, which is a very well-known skula of Mishkabah, which one says, we live in a world of skulas, of course, it's called the skula, but basically it's a tefillah. Tefillah was always, from the time of Avraham Avinu, considered to be a skula. Probably the time of Adam HaRishon was time to be considered a skula. So I think that the desires of our hearts are expressed very, very eloquently by the Shalah. And so in my box in the front of the Beis Medrash, those who want a copy of the tefillah, it could be said any time, but the skula is Erev Rosh Chodesh Siv. Okay, I guess that's the Hachana to Matan Torah. Secondly, in terms of the fact that we are nearing the end of the year, as we see from the attendance, I would like to offer the following option for those of you who are remaining, and that is that we'll continue to have shiur until the Mishnah on the bottom of the Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the Mishnah of Ha'ochel Trumas Chametz. When we get to that Mishnah, which I think we should get to next Sunday, Yom Yirtzeh Hashem, I'd like to suggest to you that you choose a sugya from the Gemara that we've learned since Kafches, Lamed Aleph, that you choose a sugya that you feel that you are mitchaber to, and either write it up for me or talk it out with me, whichever you feel more comfortable doing. Just to, again, in other words, I'll give you a mark even if you don't, but I think that you should feel a sense of that we earned four blat. There should be a sense of chazara over the four blat. So chazar the four blat, choose the sugya, and then you can use the sugya that you like, and just again either write it out or talk it over with me. I can give more shiurim, but I'd like that to go on. In other words, I can continue giving shiurim, but I think there's very nice sugyas that are continuing. But those who want to do a chazara can. If you want to do the chazara and come to shiur, fine. If you want to just come to shiur, fine. If you want to just do the chazara, fine. Whichever you want. Okay, we left off over here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis in the sugya of Balachol Kone Mashkon, where we had seen the relevance of Rav Yitzchak's halacha to understanding the Mishnah, and it gives us another understanding, another reason why there should or should not be Bal Yirah or Bal Yimatzeh, but the broader ramifications of Yitzchak's halacha, that's what we left for today. And we have a number of questions to ask. What we began with last time was the source. Minayin lebalachol shekona mashkan, the pasuk in Dvarim, lecha tiyeh tzedakah, where again we have a question of what assumptions are made in terms of the world of tzedakah, that by returning the mashkon to the love, why would it be called tzedakah? Kaner'eh that there is some level of kinyan on the part of the malve, and that by his giving it over, there's a chisaron mamon, he's giving something of his own, etc. And we point out the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, has a very different concept of the world of tzedakah, in terms of a spiritual rise for one's own soul, that lechora would not necessarily fit in with Rav Yitzchak's drasha. But in terms of the drasha itself, and about chov shekon mashkon, so all the Rishonim point out, the Gemara and Bav Metzia deals with this at length, that there are two types of mashkon. There's a mashkon bishas halva, which to a large degree serves as the reason for the halva, that which pushes the malva to lend the money, knowing that he has this mashkon on which he can be somech. And then we have a mashkon shelo bishas halva, which is a maisa bezdin, which gives the malva a certain amount of shabbos hanefesh, that after the lova defaulted, b'chol zot, there is light at the end of the tunnel, that he's going to get his money back because he has this mashkon. And the question is, in which of these mashkonot did Rav Yitzchak say his halacha of Baal Chol Kone Mashkon? And here we saw already on Tosfos, in the middle, on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Tema, how Rav Yitzchak lo kamar dekoni mashkon ela shelo b'shas halva. So this is shita, and this shita of many Rishonim is that only by a mashkon shelo b'shas halva did Rav Yitzchak say his halacha, not by the mashkon b'shas halva. Masha enkein, I sent you to the Magid Mishnah simply to cut, you know, to make life easier. Magid Mishnah and Hilchos Ishus points out that the Ramban shita, both here in Psachim and along Milchamos, both in Bav Metzia, the Ramban sheet is that there's no nafkamina. The Gemara has a havamina to distinguish between the two of them. However, the bottom line is that the Rav Yitzchak said his halacha both in a mashkon b'shas halva and in a mashkon shelo b'shas halva. within the Rambam himself, we don't find anywhere, either in Hilchos Ishus or in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel or in Hilchos Schirus, that the Rambam distinguishes between the two types of Mashkonos. So therefore the Magen Mishnah says, and it's pretty obvious, that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. So you have Machlokes between Tosfos on one hand and the Rambam and the Ramban on the other hand. Where do we say Ba'achov Kona Mashkon? Now if we were to ask ourselves, Al Pi Svara, which direction would we choose? Which is the smoother way of understanding Rav Yitzchak's halacha? What would you say? What is the nature of Ba'achov Kona Mashkon in terms of the why? Why would a Baal Chov be kona mashkon? The source we have Gzeres HaKosov, L'chatzi Etzdokah. But what does it mean to say the Baal Chov kona mashkon? What is, in other words, the mashkon classically is collateral. When we say Baal Chov kona mashkon, how do we view this collateral? It's a gviya, namely that we have over here a temporary gviya. It could be turned into a permanent gviya if the lover defaults. If the lover decides to pay back, he can be poda the mashkon, and then he will give money, and then it turned out that this mashkon was a temporary gviya. So whether it's a temporary or permanent gviya, it's a gviya. Where would it make sense to say that we have a gviya in a case of b'shas halva or in the case of shalom b'shas halva? Of course, shalom b'shas halva. Namely, that when there's an outstanding loan and then a mashkon is given, that mashkon can serve as a gviya. To say that when I'm borrowing money, I'm collecting it simultaneously, that sort of doesn't, an exercise in halachic mashkonos, but in terms of the pshuto shel dover balabatish, we would say that you can only speak about a gviya post a halva. You wouldn't speak about a gviya that precedes a halva. In other words, then really, what kind of halva is there? There's really no halva that one can speak about. So Tosfos Ashita certainly is more mistaber. According to the Ramban, in Achinami, we may start off with Malva Shelo B'Shas, with the Mashkan Shelo B'Shas Halva, but the bottom line is that that Rav Yitzchak did not distinguish, and therefore, even though the Svara starts off with the Mashkan Shelo B'Shas Halva, but we'd say a Lo Plug. However, what Tosfos says over here is something very fascinating. Even though the whole dinner of Rav Yitzchak is a Mashkan Shelo B'Shas Halva, V'Yesh Lomar, says smack in the middle of Tosfos, the Maslo b'Rav Yitzchak, the Hachi Perusho, Kevon de Shibelosh b'Shas Halva Akone Legamrei, Ked Rav Yitzchak, Im Kein Li Yen Chametz Yeshanu Lachosho Ki Ilu Hu Shelo La'avor B'lo Yimotzei Af B'Shas Halva. Namely, that even though Rav Yitzchak's halacha, according to Tosfos, is limited to the world of Shelo B'Shas Halva, but it has a ripple effect. It's mashpia also on the Mashkon B'Shas Halva, to make you be, in other words, that you'll be over by Yirah by Yimatzeh, that on Shemitah it'll break the laws of Shemitah. It'll be considered ready to be Nagus. It may help even in terms of Kedusha Isha. Namely, that there is, that even though the halacha was said in a case of Shalom B'Shas Halva, but it affects halachically the Mashkon B'Shas Halva. The question is, how does that work? What does it mean? Why, if we say Rav Yitzchak's halacha on Shelo B'Shas Halva, then we're going to have a certain status of B'Shas Halva. If there's no din of Rav Yitzchak in Shelo B'Shas Halva, then that status wouldn't exist in B'Shas Halva. So here I'd like to suggest the following understanding. Practically, what are the consequences of Rav Yitzchak's halacha? To what degree is the Malva responsible now for the Mashkon because of Rav Yitzchak's Baal Chov Kone Mashkon? What happens if this Mashkon is stolen? What happens if it's lost? What happens if lightning strikes it? So you saw that there's a very, very basic Machokas Rishonim. How far does Rav Yitzchak's Halacha go? Look over here in Rashi on the Flamed Alpha base, the second line. Rashi says, Kone Mashkon, Ko Yemei Halva'a, HaMashkon Kone Ilo, V'im Ne'enas Chayav Ba'onsin. Eino alav lo kesham rachinim v'lo kesham rasacha shepturim ba'onsim. Ela kulei birshusei u'bishmiraso omeid. Rashi says that we have over here the highest level of responsibility. He's like a shoel, he's chayav an onsim. This is Rashi by us, this is Rashi I sent you also in Baba Metzia. This is the Ravid on the Ravid on the Rambam in Hilchos Schirus. he says that we have over here a total chiyuv onsim, as opposed to, we see over here, Tosos Mesech Shkona Mashkan, Pirish HaKuntris Kona Mashkan Yan Chiyuv Onsim, V'Riomer De'Be'umdin Mashma Lo HaVeyelo Shomer Sachar, that he's chayev in Geneva V'Aveda, but he's not chayev in Onsim. This is a shita of Tosos by us, in Bav Metzia, in Shavuos, all over Tosos has a shita, and who adins the shita of the Rambam over there in Hilchos Schirus. Question is, what over here exactly is the machlokas? What underlies the machlokas between Rashi and the Ravid on one hand, and Tosfos and the Rambam on the other hand, in terms of how far does the responsibility of the Malva go, according to Rav Yitzchak the Baal Chov Kone Mashkon? Let's start off with Tosfos. Let's start off with the Svara of Tosfos. Why would Tosfos limit the achrayus of the Malva to Gneva Va'aveda, to the level of Shomer Sachar? Why really not raise the ante? So of course, if we know that there are Shomrim who are Chayev Ba'onsim, and Rav Yitzchak says Ba'achov Kone Mashkon, so why not put him on the level of Shoel? Let's be the devil's advocate. Let's try and understand why the Tosfos disagree with Rashi. Again, to say, well, that's what's Mashkon from the Sugya, fine, but Rashi and the Ravid learn the Sugya differently. And namely, the Sugya can be read in more than one way. So what pushed Tosfos up Hisvara to say that Baal Chov Kone Mashkon only goes as far as Geneva Va'aveda? What is unique? Sorry, just 1 minute. What is unique in the world of Shoel, which Lechora is missing in the world of Baal Chov Kone Mashkon? Right. In other words, the reason that we have a principle. The reason we have a principle of Shoel being Chayev Ba'onsim is because Kol Hano'a Shelo. Namely, it's a Mida Keneged Mida. He can do anything he wants. The Shoel is borrowing this object to use. He can use this object as long as he's using it, you know, Kederach Malachto, he can use it. Mesa Malach Mas Balacha, he's Patur. So we put on him all the Chiyuvim. Masha'en Kane, no one says that if Baal Chov Kone Mashkon, therefore he can use it. The bottom line is, it's a mashkon. It's collateral. It belongs, in other words, the lova always has the right of being poded. It wasn't given to the mashkon, to the malva to use. It was given to serve as a guarantee of payment of the loan, but not to be used. So Lechora, Tosfos is correct that if the uniqueness of Shoel is Kol Hano'a Shelo, that's why there's a Chiyuv Onsim, that should not apply to the world of Baal Chov Kone Mashkon. No, and what would Rashi and the Ravid retort? What would they answer back? Yes?
How can you own it?
Stronger than that, but in other words, do we have another model of Chiyuv Onsim aside from Shoel? Is there anyone else in the Halachic kingdom who is Chayev Ba'onsim aside from the Shoel? A Gazlan, a Ganav, they're Chayev Ba'onsim. Are they Chayev Ba'onsim because Kol Hano'a Shelo? Why are they Chayev Ba'onsim? Not as a din of achrayus, but rather there's a certain bailus, right? There's a certain kinyan geneva, there's a kinyan gzela that brings about a chiyuv onsim, namely that the gazlan has a responsibility to either return the chayfetz, or if he's not going to return the chayfetz, right, because, you know, he decides to keep the chayfetz, he changed it, whatever, then he has to return its value, namely the payment of the chiyuv onsim is built into the kinyan egzela. So one can also speak about the same concept over here by mashkon, namely that the reason that the malva has kinyanim in the mashkon is the kinyanim mean either return the mashkon or be mevater on the loan, that we have over here a certain degree of kinyan. In other words, the question is, where is this chiyuv onsim coming from? If the chiyuv onsim comes from the world of achrayus, then lechora Tosfos is correct. In the world of achrayus, in the world of responsibility, only someone who is kol hanoa shelo is going to be chayev and onsim. That's the shoel as opposed to the shomer sachar. However, if the chiyuv onsim comes about not from the model of shomrim, but from the model of ganov and gazlan, namely from the chiyuv onsim comes due to a kinyan, then even if ne'enas, he's responsible. It's his loss. Either you return the mashkon, or you mevater on the chov. Either you return the mashkon, either you return the chayfetz haganov, or you pay for it. Namely, that this is that the question over here exactly is where is this Chiyuv Onsim, where theoretically would a Chiyuv Onsim be coming from? Yes?
When the lover gives a mashkon, that's part of the tonight, and he gives the mashkon, and he expects to get it back. And it was understood. This is already something that the lover is demanding. I mean, the nigzal is also demanding it, but he didn't agree to the relationship to begin with. But the chachila, the lover agreed to the relationship, but on the condition that he get it back the way he got it.
Okay, I hear. In other words, namely, that we have over here a basic machlokas understanding. The language of Rav Yitzchak. When Rav Yitzchak says "Menayin lebal chov shekona mashkon," Rashi and the Raiva took this literally. That we have over here parallel to kinyan gneva and gzeila. We have over here a kinyan of the bal chov in the mashkon, and therefore, no matter what happens to the mashkon, the bal chov is going to be responsible. If he has the opportunity of returning the mashkon, fine. If he can't return the mashkon, then the chov is abrogated because this was in place of the chov. This was his gviya. Ma'ashen came to us and said, "No, mashkon is sof kol sof a pikadon. He the bal chov kone mashkon means minayin le bal chov ki kone mashkon. That he's on the highest level of shmira that can be. That namely he's not a shomer chinam, which should be according to the letter of the law. He's not getting paid to watch it. Pum fakert. He's doing a favor to the owner by lending him money." But that raises him, according to Tosfos, to Rav Yitzchak, to the level of the highest achrayus of a shomer who doesn't have kol hanoah shelo. Namely, he's on the level of the shomer sachar. He's chayev not only on shia, also on geneva, also on aveda. But in order to be chayev on the level of onsim, there you need kol hanoah shelo. That level, even Rav Yitzchak doesn't say, because that's not simply the reality in the world of bal chov kone mashkon. According to the Raivin and Rashi, we're not using the responsibility because of he's a watchman. We're dealing with a different maslul altogether. We're dealing with the maslul parallel to Geneva, maslul of Kinyan. This is where we come to the Ritva. The Ktsos quotes a Ritva who points out that there's a very, very basic distinction between the Shoel and the Gazlan. Both the Shoel is Chayev Ba'onsim and the Gazlan is Chayev Ba'onsim. But since they're coming to their Chiyuv Onsim from different reasons, the Shoel is Chayev Onsim because it's a Chiyuv Achrayas of Kol Hanoah Shelo. The Gazlan is Chayev Ba'onsim because he has Kinyan Egzela and therefore either return the Chayfetz or its value. That's either or. That's his Chiyuv. What's the Nafgamina between the two of them according to the Ritva? When we're dealing in a world, an economic world of uncertainty and prices are going up and down, and kind of steals something when it's worth X. And at the time of the onus, it's worth Y. In other words, either went up in value or down in value, and or someone, again, a shoel borrowed something when it was worth X. And at the time of the onus, it was worth Y. At which standard do we pay? At which standard do we pay? So when we're dealing with a shoel, what is his chiyuv? His chiyuv is a chiyuv achrayus. At what moment does the chiyuv achrayus hit in? Shasa ones. At shasa ones, that's when his achrayus hits in. That's what he's responsible for. It's, in other words, if at that moment it was worth $10,000, even though when he borrowed it was worth $8,000, he owes $10,000. That's his achrayus. His achrayus hits in on the ones. Masha enkein the ganav or the gazlan. We have a rule in Baba Kama called gazlanim mishalmim kishas hagzeila. Even if the value went up, he only pays back the original value. Who adin if the value goes down? He pays the original value because the Maisa Geneva is that which created the Kinyanim. So if we're dealing with the world of Kinyan, we go after the Maisa Geneva. If we're dealing with the world of Achrayas, we go after the time of the Onus. In other words, assuming that when we're dealing with the din of Baal Chov Kone Mashkon, at what point does the Baal Chov pay for this Mashkon? Let's assume there wasn't an Onus. Let's assume there was a Geneva of Aveda, and the Baal Chov is going to have to pay for the Mashkon. According to Tosfos, at what point does he pay for the mashkon? At the time that he got the mashkon, the time of the halva, or the time of the geneva va'aveda? Geneva va'aveda, it's a chiyuv achrayus according to Tosfos. Mashenken, according to the Raivit and Rashi, at what point does he pay? He pays at the time of the halva. He's the kinyan. He's paid because of the kinyan. So it's a double question. A, what is his level of responsibility? And B, given the fact that no matter what his level of responsibility is, from what point does he pay? If we're dealing with achrayus, his level of responsibility is capped by geneva va'aveda. And the moment we're dealing with achrayus, we're talking about sha'as ha'ones, sha'as ha'geneva, sha'as ha'aveda. However, if we're dealing within the world of kinyanim, there's no cap. Even if ones, you have to return it. Either you return it or you mevater on the loan. And in terms of the level of responsibility, the value of the mashkon, assuming that's not equal to the loan, assuming it's less than the loan, how much is he going to take off from the loan? So according to the shita of Rashi and the Ravid, he would pay kishas halva. According to Tosos, he would pay kishas ha ibud min ha'olam. Yes. That's kona means that he is a souped up shomer. That even though he's not getting any money, since this can serve as a temporary gevia, therefore he has more responsibility. So Tosa says that this is a kolomar. That's what Tosa says. It doesn't mean kohen and mashkon. Not like Rashi says the kulo birshuse. In other words, that we have over here the world of kinyanim, but rather, in other words, he's kish shomer sachar that we have over here, that he has more responsibility. In other words, maybe take it the other. In other words, we understand now. In other words, to work off of Rashi's question, we understand now why, according to Tosfos, the din of mashkon bishas shelo bishas halvoa would impact on mashkon bishas halvoa, as opposed to the Rashi and the Ramban. According to Rashi and the Ramban, everything we're saying over here is that we have a temporary gevia, we have a kinyan. That only makes sense in a mashkon shelo bishas halvoa. And then the mashkon bishas halvoa either is going to be exactly like it because of a lo plug, or not at all, one or the other. The Masha Enkein, according to Tosfos, we're not dealing over here with a real kinyan. We're dealing over here with levels of responsibility, and so we're pointing out that he has a greater zika. He has a greater relationship to this chayfetz on the level of mashkon shelo b'shas halvoa. There'll be a chiyuv of geneva va'aveda. On the level of a mashkon b'shas halvoa, it'll be matzui. It'll be nagus. Namely, that we're dealing over here not with the world of kinyan, and we're dealing over here with a stronger relationship, and that stronger relationship can be a gradual line. On the level of mashkon shelo b'shas halvoa, I can reach up to a chiyuv of geneva va'aveda. On the level of mashkon b'shas halvoa, I won't go up to a chiyuv of geneva va'aveda. He'll still be a shomer chinam, but he's now a shomer chinam who is that this chayv is going to be matzui etzlo. Classically, a shomer chinam is not chayev on bayira bayimatzei. Here we have a shomer chinam who's chayev on bayira bayimatzei, because it could very well be that this mashkon will serve as his gviya. It could very well be that this mashkon is going to belong to him in the future, and therefore we had over here, we spoke about the hoil, we had over here the fact that this brings him into the world of being matzui. It's enough to be chayev on bayira bayimatzei. It's enough to take it out of the realm of Shemitah. It's enough too. You know, it's because according to Tosfos, we never have a kinyan. All we have is a stronger relationship. We have a stronger responsibility. So that can go on a sliding scale. Mashkon shelo b'shas halvoa is the peak of the scale. Chiyuv geneva va'aveda. Mashkon b'shas halvoa would be matzui, would be nogus. We would have nafkaminas in terms of other halakos. Mashenkin, according to the Ramban, it's all or nothing. Either we have an exact equation between the two of them, or we're going to spin off the mashkon shelo b'shas halvoa, and it wouldn't apply at all to the mashkon shelo b'shas halvoa. To b'shas halvoa. Okay, that's what we have over here, l'chora, in terms of the din of Rav Yitzchak. So we saw that there's a machlokas, how to understand the source, that there's a machlokas to which type of mashkon it applies, and there's a machlokas to the degree of kinyan. Are we talking really over here about a level of achrayus, or are we talking over here about mamash kinyan? Again, nafkamina in terms of the onus, and nafkamina in terms of from what point does he pay? And the third nafkamina is, can we have a sliding scale between a mashkon shelo b'shas halvoa and a mashkon b'shas halvoa? Okay, then the Gemara continues and points out that when we're dealing with the mashkon that a nochri gives to a Yisrael, there, l'chora, there's no balchov kone mashkon. However, what we do have is a din of me'achshav. We have a principle of me'achshav. And the me'achshav, according to Rava, is that which brings in the bayira'u bayimatzei in the seifa of the Mishnah. Yisrael shehilva es nachri al chemso. The Yisrael is the malve. The nachri is giving the chametz as a mashkon to the Yisrael. Since we have over here a principle of me'achshav, nachri says, if I don't pay you, this chametz is going to be yours me'achshav, then aser bahanah. Aser bahanah. In other words, after Pesach. The Gemara says, how do we know that me'achshav has relevance to Bal Yerabe Yematzei? Menot temra, d'shaynerei bein hecha adar me'achshav, hecha d'lamar me'achshav. The Tanya Nachri Shehirin Paspurni Eitzel Yisrael. The assumption was that Paspurni is a valuable pas that people would take as collateral. Eino over. The imaro higa'aticha over. Maishna reisha, maishna seifa, erasha mina. The higaticha is a fancy language of me'achshav, and that's going to bring the Yisrael into the world of Bayirah Bayimatzei. What the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch point out, right, the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch point out, the Taz and the Magen Avraham point out on this in Siman Taf Mem Aleph, is that the whole sugya over here deals what is the status of this chametz after Pesach. Is it chametz shavar Pesach, or is it not chametz shavar Pesach? But l'chora, we have to ask ourselves a different question. Is the Yisrael, who was given this chametz as collateral, is he allowed to keep the chametz on Pesach? You know, like sort of Russian roulette. Assuming that the goy is going to pay back the loan and take back the chametz, or does he have to burn it because maybe the goy won't pay back the loan and then lemafreya the chametz is going to be his, and then you know he's going to be over by yiro by yimatzei lemafreya. Forget about chametz shavar Pesach. What about on Pesach itself? Is the Jew allowed to keep the chametz on Pesach itself or not? So here the Taz is medayek in Rashi. That Rashi points out that Diramaskil Higaticha, that Shema Kishiyagia lo Yifra, Venimsa Ovel Mafreya Bayira. So it appears over here that the moment that we have a condition of Me'achshav, then the Jew is painting himself into a corner. That he took Chametz that he is going to have to destroy. He's going to have to destroy this Chametz so that he shouldn't be over Bayira or Bayimatze, since when is someone allowed to put oneself into a suffix doraisa of bayiro bayimatzei, and therefore the Jew is going to have to burn this chametz. And if the goy afterwards comes and offers payment, the Jew is going to have to tell him some sort of a story. Sorry, but your mashko no longer exists, and you know, words, and that's it. You're.
And why is he doing this? Can he collect? And he's losing it. He's losing it. It's on a mashko as far as.
100%. 100%. That's what the Taz is pointing out. That the moment that we have this me'achshav, basically the malva, if he cares about halacha, if he doesn't ask a question, okay. So you know, but if he asks a question, so the Rav will say, you just did something that you shouldn't have done. You put yourself in a position where you may be over by your rabbi Yimatzei
Mafreya, you lose everything,
and you're going to lose everything. Right. So that's what the Taz says. Magen Avraham says no. No, 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 no. Had that been the case, the Gemara would have said that. Why is the Mishnah talking about Aser Bahanah, Mutar Bahanah? The Gemara is assuming this Chametz is going to remain until after Pesach. What are you talking about? An Am Ha'aretz who didn't ask a question, etc. Had he asked a question? So the Magen Avraham says there's no Chiyuv to be Mevayer. Why? Because maybe the Goy will pay back the loan and then the Chametz will go to him and Shalom Yisrael. Namely, the Taz says, maybe the goy is going to default and therefore burn it. And Magen Avraham says, no, maybe the goy is going to pay back the loan and therefore keep it. What kind of machokis is that? What kind of machokis is that between the Taz and the Shach? We have over here a suffix, right? Maybe yes, maybe no. What do you do in a case of a suffix? It could go this way, it could go this way. Is there more than 50-50? It's 50-50, one way or the other. So the Taz says, let's assume worst case scenario, so burn it. Magen Avraham says, let's assume best case scenario and keep it. That's a machlokas. Well, in other words, how do we understand what's going on over here? So the Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Ches, he says that the Magen Avraham over here, exception to the rule. L'chora, the Taz is 100% correct. We have a safek d'oraisa. You're not allowed to put yourself into a safek that l'mafreya you're going to be over by yirah or by yimatzeh and say, well, I know this guy. He's going to pay. He always paid back his loans. He'll pay it back. What kind of? No one. No. There's no guarantees that have had anything in life. Not allowed to put yourself into a case of safek. So how then do we understand the Magen Avraham? So classically, when there is an issue in the Magen Avraham, there's a super commentary called the Machas HaShekel, who takes every word of the Magen Avraham, and like a Maharsha, is Medayik, and a Rashi and a Tosos, so the Machas HaShekel. Machas HaShekel comes up with an Ukimta. The Ukimta is that this Jew was Mevatel B'chametz, which may not even belong to him. He was Mevatel Al Tanai, that if this ever, you know, is going to belong to me, I'm Mevatel it from now. Okay, that's an interesting option. It's not mentioned over here at all in the Gemara. Nowhere brings in veto. It's not clear that there is that he has the right to mevatel something which is not his. Yes?
Wouldn't that be problematic also? Because the whole point of veto is you're declaring its insignificance, and here on the contrary, he doesn't.
100%, and that's what. So they deal with the fact that this appears to be a harama. I mean, this is like saying that when you find chametz shavua pesach, say, oh, he's mevatel it, and now I can eat it. In other words, you know, you're mevatel it in order to, you know, because you care so much for it, that's why you're mevatel it. In other words, it appears, bito l'chora, you mevatel something because you really mean that it's worthless. Not because you want to use it after Pesach. Yeah? Excuse me? Whom?
The Baal HaChametz.
He's not the Baal HaChametz, it's a mashkon.
But if he can be mevatel it, then
So it's okay. So I'm just pointing out there's a lot of literature on this option. If we don't take this option, is there another option within the Magen Avraham? So here the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha quotes Achronim, who point out that l'cha'ora, you know, where it's the Malva, the Jew, has a card up his sleeve, namely that he'll keep the mashkon. Why is he keeping the mashkon? Because in his heart he feels that the lova is going to pay him back. And then, you know, where it's all of this threat, this sword hanging over his head, is going to disappear. The goy will pay him back, he'll give the chametz back to the goy, the chametz would never belong to him, there's no problem of a mafreya, everything is fine. What if the day of the payment comes, and he keeps trying to call the goy, and the fellow doesn't answer? Namely, it's quite clear that this fellow is not picking up his phone for a reason. And the clock is ticking, and he's about to be over by Yerah by Yimatzeh l'mafreya. So the card up his sleeve is he's only going to be over by Yerah by Yimatzeh if he's going to accept the mashkon as payment of the loan. But if he'll go in front of two edim and tell these two edim machelo, I'm mochel the loan, then in achinami he's never going to see the money. He's going to see the money anyway, but at least he's not going to be over by Yerah by Yimatzeh. Then he always has this option of mechila, and since he always has this option of mechila, that's what's going to remove the ba'ira u'ba'yimatzeh. That's the direction of the Achronim. What does this sound to you like? What are we bringing back into the picture? Something that we raised in the last year. Can we really say that because a person has a certain option of changing a situation in the future, that's going to affect ba'ira u'ba'yimatzeh? Is there really, you know, is this a valid, or is that's what we're saying? Since the Jew could always be mochel, therefore there's not going to be bayiro bayimatzai. Exactly. In what? Right. This brings us back to the world of Hoil. Right. This brings us back to what we discussed in terms of the world of matzui, namely that the moment we're dealing with bayiro bayimatzai, we're not talking about real categories. We're talking about questions of relationships, of a zika. And if this person can jettison the relationship at the last moment, yitachen that there's not going to be bayiro ubayimatzai. We dealt with it the other way, that, you know, since the person can always default, that'll bring in a bayiro bayimatzai. The same way that bayiro bayimatzai can be brought in by an action later on, the Bayirah Bayimatzeh can also be perhaps abrogated by the Bayimachila afterwards. Namely that the Magen Avraham over here is working within the Sugya, and the Sugya is pointing out that there are many factors to be taken into account. That as long as things aren't totally clear in terms of who owns this and what's going to be, etc., that's a two-way street. Just like the lova can change the equation by paying back the loan or not paying back the loan, so also the malva can change the situation by being mocha or not being mocha. So the moment it's in his hands, so he can keep the chametz, because I have it within his hands to turn it into an eno matzui. Whether this is valid or not, that's an open question. But l'chora, that's another way of understanding the Magen Avraham. You have to set it up with an ukimta of bitul, because as Mendel pointed out, it's very problematic in terms of harama. How can you say you mevatel something in order to keep it? In other words, you mevatel it in order to destroy it, not in order to keep it. So the other option is a form of ho'il, the possibility of mechila. Okay, that's what we have over here. But again, most Rishonim understand, most of them understand like the Taz, with the Diuk and Rashi, that even though the Mishnah over here is speaking about Mutar Bahano and Osir Bahano, there are ramifications that go beyond that. Osir Bahano means, therefore, burn it. Therefore, you got yourself into a lose-lose situation. Okay, then the Gemara continues with the Tanu Rabbanan. It quotes a Tosefta in the second parak of Psachim, just as we previously also had a quotation of a Tosefta from the second parak of Psachim, also over here. Chonus shel Yisrael, umalai shel Yisrael, upoalei nachrim nichnasim l'sham. We're dealing, like we have a whole slew of Mishnayos dealing with when you find ma'os in Yerushalayim, should you worry that these are ma'os ma'aser sheni? Where did you find them? Did you find them in Har Habayis? Did you find them in a store? Which side of the store were they on? The side of the mocher, the side of the lokeach? What season of the year is it? Is it the Shalosh Regalim? Is it not Shalosh Regalim? Bechulei. So over here you find chametz in the store, and we're not sure if this chametz stemmed from the malai of the Yisrael, or it stemmed from the poalim, nachrim, that it nechnasim yotzim isham. So the text that we have in front of us is that chametz shenimsa sham achar ha-pesach asur behana'a. We assume that this chametz came from the malai of the Yisrael. However, chana shel nachri umalai, or I shouldn't say however, and chana shel nachri umalai shel nachri upole Yisrael nechnas v'yotze misham chametz shenimtzu sham achar pesach muter ba'achila v'ein tzarach lomer ba'hana. Namely, that we're consistent that when we have two options of the source of the chametz in the store, either the merchandise of the store, that this came out of the merchandise, or it came out of the pockets of the poalim, we're going to assume it came out of the merchandise. So if the merchandise is owned by a Jew, it'll be Chametz Shavua Pesach. Merchandise is owned by a Goy, it won't be Chametz Shavua Pesach. That's the Tosefta, Aliba, the Girsa of Rashi, and it's pointed out in the Shulchan Aruch, Aliba, the Girsa of Rav Haigon. However, when we move over on the page to Rabbeinu Hananel, he quotes the same Tosefta, Tanu Rabbanan. It's in my edition, it's about 8 thin lines from the bottom of the thin lines. Tana Rabbanan, smack in the middle, parallel to the middle of the wide lines of Rashi. Chana shel nachri umalai shel nachri, komar aschora shebetoch achonas l'nachri. Upole Yisrael nechnasim l'sham ve'osim melachton. Chamed shenimsa shem achar pesach, aser behana. Ein tzarech lomer ba'achila. Klomar, if you don't understand what I'm saying, chamed shel Yisrael, we go after the poalim. V'chein chana shel Yisrael umalai shel Yisrael pole nachrim nechnasim l'sham. Chamed shenimsa shem achar pesach muter ba'achila. Ein tzarech lomer ba'hana. Kol the milsa basar poalin azlina poalin Yisrael hein chemson hu va'asar im shal nachrim mutar. Namely, he had a different girsa in the Tosefta and Lieberman's Tosefta Kipshuta. There are two girsalos. There are different kisvayad. Some kisvayad are this way. Some kisvayad are that way. Yeah, the Rishonim dealt with a kisvayad that they had in front of them. The Ravid over here on the Rif comes up with a fascinating he'ara, and that is that this Tosefta is quoted neither by the Rif nor by the Rambam. So he posits it's not that they didn't have it in their Tosefta or in their Gemara, but simply they knew that there was a question of which girsa of Gufei girsos, and so they just didn't quote it because there's no closure over here. It's unclear. And if you don't quote it, so then, in other words, we'll answer in both directions, mea suffic. As long as one party to the story is a Jew, be it the poel or be it the store owner, halacha mais is going to be usher. We don't have over here a rule, we always go after the store owner or we always go after the poel. Okay, that's not an easy way out, but that's an approach. However, if we do have a girsa, then we have to explain the girsa. Why would we only go after the merchandise? or why would we only go after the poel? So here we have the Maram Chalva'a serving as the Melitz Yosher of the Girsa of Rashi, and the Chidushei Ramban, and the Rabbi Nadavid is serving as the Melitz Yosher of the Girsa of Rabbi Nochanan. They both knew that there were two Girsas. By the time you got to the Maram Chalva'a and to the Ramban, they knew there were two Girsas, and they sort of chose a girsa that they felt comfortable with and explained it. So let's take Rashi. If we have two options, whether chametz that we find on the floor we have a candy store, and we find a chametz, a tootsie roll. It's probably chametz, no? Okay, let's assume it's Karovas Chametz. We have to find the Tutsi roll on the floor in the store after Pesach, and it could have been that this fell out of the merchandise, or it could have been that someone had it in his pocket and it fell out. And we're dealing over the store is owned by a Jew, and the Goyim are his customers. Store is owned by a Goy, the Jews are the customers. So the Rashi says we go after the merchandise of the store. Why? What's the rule over here according to Rashi? What does Maram Chava say? Kavua. We have a concept of kavua. Kavua over here is not the kavua of Yoredeya Simon Kufyud, but rather the chazaka of kan nimtza kan haya, namely that we know that there was chametz in the store to begin with. The store has merchandise, whether there are purchasers or not purchasers, and Machenken, the purchasers, they are the arai, they are coming and going. So we go after the kan nimtza kan haya. We have a din in tzliya that if you have one thing which is kavua and another thing is arai, we'll be tola in that which is kavua. This is simply one of the rules that we use when we deal with the world of sfeikos, that we have a right to distinguish between kavua and arai. I get all these questions that the woman will tell me. I usually do, you know, kach v'kach v'kach, but maybe I did differently. So Chazal tell us, no, we assume that you did what you usually do. We assume that you continue the way you usually behave. There is such a concept of a chazaka. So over here, if this is the kavua and there's a possibility of arai, we go after the kavua. If this is the case, then Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa comes to be very, very problematic. So the Maram Chava wants to explain that this is totally on a very, very powerful ukimta. The Maram Chava says that the assumption of Rashi is what is the basic merchandise of the store? Chametz. That chametz is the merchandise. However, if we're dealing in a world where the merchandise of the store generally is not chametz, just occasionally the person may have merchandise with chametz, that turns everything on its head. The people coming in, certainly before Pesach, carrying chametz. Merchandise of the store is only an arai, namely that really, according to the Maram Chava, turns out there's no machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel. The two girsos are simply dealing with two kimtos. What is the merchandise? When the merchandise of the store is chametz, then we have a din of kavua and tolin. When the merchandise of the store is not chametz, then boom fakir. This is the arai, and we're tolin on the purchasers, by them the chametz is kavua, as opposed to by the store. That's the direction of the Maram of the Maram Chava. The Ramban, on the other hand, assumes that we have over here a principle involved in the girsa of Rabbeinu Hananel. What principle would be involved that we would take the merchandise of the store out of the picture and only look at the poalim? That's the rule. Kala de milsa basar poalin azlina. Why would we have such a kala de milsa? Again, what the Maram Chava did was set up as an ukimta. But if we want to have over here a kala de milsa, we don't have an ukimta. Kala de milsa means kala de milsa. We always go after poalim. We don't go after the merchandise. What happened to Rashi's svara of kan nimtza kan haya, that the merchandise is kavua? The answer is that we have to take two cases. If we're dealing with a store owned by a Jew, so what do you mean the merchandise store is kavua? There had to be a bir chametz. We're finding this chametz after Pesach. The Jew had to do a bir chametz on his merchandise. And so if there's something to found on the floor of the store, kanereh, it's from one of the customers, because the merchandise has been removed from the store, or it was sold, whatever happened, it's no longer a factor because of the world of bir chametz, namely that the bedika changes the fact that we assume that the Yisrael was bodik the chanas properly, that changes the equation. The malai is neutralized. It's no longer considered to be a kavua, and so pum fakert, that which is brought in by the goyim, that's what's going to affect things. The problem is, according to this, what about the other case? What if we have a chanas of a goy, and we have people coming in who are Jews? Why over here are we going to say that we're going to assume this chametz belongs to a Jew? There's no reason to take the malai out of the equation. Why should a goy take his malai out of the equation? He's not chayef in bedika, so the malai is in the equation. So what are we going to say? That it's 50-50? So we have the malai and we have the poel. No, what are we talking about? We're talking about chametz shel Pesach. Then you find it after Pesach. We paskin that's drabana. Paskin like Rabbi Shimon. No, so we have a suffix drabana lekula. Why over here? So that's a problem. Namely, that the Ramban explains the first half of the girsa of Rabbeinu Chanan. It's much more difficult to understand why. And he speaks of the fact, well, maybe the Jew wasn't misyayish, it's still his, and can the Jew be misyayish, and should the Jew be misyayish, and is the shaykh to the Jew? But what is, you know, but so of course there's a malai of the goy. There's a malai of the goy, so it's at least 50-50. That's what's pointed out over here by the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, why is he more dealing with these cases? Let's take any case. Any case where you have Jews and goyim, you're in a college classroom, okay? There are Jews and goyim in the college classroom. You find chametz on the floor. You don't know if it fell from a Jew or fell from a goy. What do we do in that situation? So the Magen says, suffik drabanan lahakeh, where it's after Pesach. It's a question of chametz of Pesach. So we have a suffik. In other words, and we go lekula. So lechora, why over here, if the owner of the store is a goy and there are Jewish customers, why should that be any more than a suffik drabanan and a lekula on the part of the maybe it fell from a Jew, maybe not. Maybe it fell from the malai, maybe not. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation. The Taz also, he felt that the explanation of Rashi, of kavua, that's something which is irrelevant, of a Jew, of a goy. Merchandise is kavua. But within the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, he sort of left it up in the air. Mishnah Berurah also, in other words, says that l'chora, in other words, one should understand according to Rashi's girsa, the malai is chametz, it's kavua, therefore we have tolin, and the only way is to understand the girsa of Yochananel is like the ukimta of the Maram Chava. If the malai is not chametz, then you could say you go after poalim, in other words, kula l'chumra, etc. Okay, that's what we have over here in this sugya. What we're moving over into is a sugi of chametz naflav mapoles. This brings us back to the world of Bayira, Bayimatze, back to the first perek. And so over here, this Mishnah is quoted in two places. It's quoted earlier in Dafkasamad Aleph. So Divrei Torah, Ani Mokomecha, Vashim Mokomachid. There's no Tosis by us, and there's very, very little Rashi by us, but there is Rashi and Tosis over there on Dafkasamad Aleph. And so look over there on Daf Kasa Medalef, and Huadin, but Metzia Daf Membeza Medalef, also over there, this Rashi and Tosos. So see Rashi and Tosos over there, but Metzia on Daf Membeza Medalef. In our Sugya, we do have in Rabbeinu David, and in the Meiri, and in the broader Tosos, the Tosos Harosh, Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz, that those pay to look at over here. And again, the question is, in terms of defining Bayiro, Bayimatze, are these two different lavim? Is there that which is there a condition of being of ro'eh? Is there a condition of matsui? Those are over here the nafkaminas. Okay, so b'li neder on Yom Rishon, I think we can cover this, and then afterwards, in other words, what, again, I would like to offer you the option I mentioned earlier of doing a chazara of the last four blat. And I'd be very, very happy to either receive from you or talk in learning with you on any sugya that you want. Those who want to continue while doing a chazara, are certainly welcome to, and then, you know, we'll continue for another two shiurim or so into the sugya of Truma. We won't finish the sugya of Truma, I don't think, but we can begin the sugya of Truma. Okay.